Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day. It is our prayer and our desire to see you join in the dialogue and discussion. And therefore, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the Internet, it's an area code 904. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Today we're talking about countdown to destiny. Countdown to destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just got a short period of time now to determine the destiny of America. Will we continue to be a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, or will we vote to be a nation, to become a socialist Marxist nation, rather than a constitutional republic? This election, ladies and gentlemen, will determine where we are as a nation. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, the determination will be based on our outcome to vote. Will we turn out to vote? I believe this is the most vital destiny deciding election in my lifetime. And as I say very seriously but jokingly, I'm still less than 100 years old. Let me underpin that statement with a quote from Franklin Graham, Decision Magazine, October 2022. Franklin Graham says, on November the 8th, tens of millions of voters will head to the polls across America in the most crucial midterm election in recent history. To say that much is at stake is a gross misunderstanding and understatement. It isn't just control of Congress. It may be our last chance to stop the immoral and ungodly policies that have brought our great nation to a moral brink of disaster. The floodgates of Sodom and Gomorrah have seemingly swung wide open in the past 2 years. The spirit of Antichrist is pervading our nation, hating the things of God. Many of our leaders now advocate for and defend such abominable behaviors as same-sex marriage and gay rights. They are staunch supporters of transgenderism, which is nothing but a lie from hell. Those who flaunt this ungodly lifestyle are sold out and devoted to taking this lie as far as it can go and reaching our children and the next generation through our educational system. They don't care if it's a biological male that goes into a girl's public restroom under the disguise of being a female. And I say disguise because there is no such thing as a transgender. It's a made-up term used by a godless culture that openly defies God's unique creation of male and female. Every infant in every hospital, in every state, and indeed around the whole world is born genetically a boy or a girl. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is what's at stake. At stake is the moral, ethical, fundamental foundation of our nation. And you'll decide. You'll decide in making that vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe we're in a state of mourning now. And I believe there is a need for rejoicing in America. Therefore, I believe we need to pray and seek God's face and confess our sin and ask God to heal our land. In the next few days, we'll have that opportunity to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's having a central Biblicist worldview. A central Biblicist worldview means that everything that takes place socially, economically, politically, militarily, every aspect of theology and doctrine, everything that we view is through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, there's a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Truth is not sought after today. In fact, it is denied, rejected, repulsed, and repelled by multitudes. It was George Orwell, the secularist, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a newsflash article that substantiates that statement. This article's headline: "Most younger Americans say there is no absolute truth." Merriam-Webster of late says truth is the body of real things, events and facts, actuality, and the state of being the case. But a new poll shows that the majority of younger Americans simply do not believe that. They believe that each person defines his own truth. Its results pushed Americans past the tipping point, this writer says, because 55% of Americans, 18 to 29 year old, think that each person determines his own version of truth. The opinion also held by those in other age groups, but the percentage diminished as people grew older. The number of Americans who say there is no absolute truth is alarmingly high, this writer says. Further, the statement says in this article, "The loss of truth has grave consequences for community, justice, sense of purpose, mental health. I'm not aware of any civilization that has abandoned reality to this extent and still able to survive. The good news is that Americans still hold out hope that each person can make a difference. If there ever was a time to stand for truth, it is now," this writer says, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And it's my admonition to you on this broadcast each and every day that we do that very thing. And ladies and gentlemen, I've rolled the dial many, many mornings, many afternoons, and searching for news and on the news reels that there would be a modicum of truth. The overwhelming majority of the time, there is simply tidbits mixed with opinion that thwarts and bends the truth. This is the reason we're told by the demographers that less than 1%, hear me, less than 1% of Americans understand what's taking place in our great nation. This is the reason it is so vital that we understand the seriousness of this election. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand of landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24-7. At the base of that flagpole is the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its staff to worship in the house of God with the people of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you the telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 831-0917. We're talking about Countdown to Destiny. It's the destiny of America. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this. Pennsylvania, for example, let me just back up. Most all, if not all, of the what is called the highly contested battleground states are preparing for court battles. Listen, back in March, the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party, known as the Democrats, said that they had already gotten over 1,100 attorneys spread across the nation and the battleground states to scrutinize every action leading up to the 2022 election. And everything that's done and said, to file suit on every hand if there's any modicum of question that they would challenge it in court, to, quote, tie the election up and let the courts decide the winners and the losers. That's the mindset. That's the mantra. And ladies and gentlemen, Pennsylvania just announced that it will take days. This is on 6:30 News this morning on Fox. The Pennsylvania Secretary of Election said that it's going to take days to count the mail-in ballots to decide who really are the winners in their state, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, our hope, our destiny, although this election will determine the destiny and the ultimate position of America, I believe we need to look at it on the basis that God is still sovereign, God is still on the throne, that God still is in control. He's not asleep, he's not on vacation, and we need to trust in and depend upon God and not government. But it's imperative that every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot vote. No excuse. We must vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give a little brief introductory statement. Then we're going to introduce our special guest today and talk about some of these vital issues in relationship to our election, what's happening on the national, international scene, what's taking place in Ukraine, and the move that was just made by the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, to put live bodies in boots on the streets in the Ukraine. Military, U.S. military, this is our first placement now of U.S. military in the hotspot, and it's they're claiming they're doing that to be observers and to determine what's happening to the military equipment and the money that's being shipped there. We're going to talk about some of these battleground states and what is happening. One of the key elements that I want us to talk about today is the fact that The producers of the 2,000 Mules video that shows without any equivocation, without any doubt, that the 2020 election was stolen, fraudulently stolen, a judge now in Texas just placed the two producers of that documentary in jail. We'll talk about that. But ladies and gentlemen, in talking about these issues and discussing them, we have with us today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill was the former representative of District 1, the Florida House of Representatives. And I'm always delighted to talk with Congressman Hill because of his, if I can say this without embarrassing him, because of his genius and his knowledge and his Christian view of what is happening and the promulgation of truth and what we need to do as Christians and in particular at this particular stage in the life of America. Congressman Hill, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on this broadcast today. Delighted to have you on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me, and thank you for those very kind words of introduction.
It's always our delight because I am thankful for your insight and for your Christian stand, and I want our listeners to understand that it's not just shooting off the hip and trying to make a half-handed decision and statement, but it's well thought out, well considered, based on a biblical worldview. I'm always thankful for that. Congressman, do you believe that some of the same fraudulent events that took place in 2020, do you believe that they're taking place and being put in place even today for the 2022 election?
Unfortunately, I have to say yes, Dr. Youngblood. I think that a lot of those same techniques which were used to commit election fraud in 2020, when the left saw that they could steal an election on many different levels, not just at the presidential level, but all the way down to the state and county level, city level, that they found that they were able to steal elections. But not only that, but they also learned that they could get away with it, that there were so many courts which would come up with the nonsense that you don't have standing to bring the evidence before us, so we're just tossing it out, would not even look at the evidence. I think that gave encouragement to those on the left. So how do we fight that? You said at the beginning of your monologue, Dr. Youngblood, that Christians must get out and vote. We must in overwhelming numbers. We have to, despite the fact that they have mechanisms in place in order to commit election fraud, we have to overwhelm them with our votes. And when the church rises up and will get out and vote, then we win. But we must go out and vote. And if they are a cheat again, then it'll have to be with such large numbers of, against such large numbers of Christians, that it'll just be too obvious of what they are doing. And so we must go out and vote, as you said in the beginning of your monologue, to save this great nation from the demonic onslaught that we are seeing occurring right now.
Absolutely. Hold your thought for just a moment, Congressman. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please. Hello? Bill, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Well, we lost Bill. Congressman, we're talking about the need for Christians to vote in overwhelming numbers, and I'm in full agreement with that. And I go back to an issue that's just hit the news media, some of the news reels just recently. Looking at headlines, says, True the Vote founders jailed for contempt of court, dated October the 31st. The founders of the election integrity group, True the Vote, were jailed on October 31st by a federal judge for contempt of court. U.S. Marshal detained Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips after hearing in federal court in Dallas, according to the court docket entry. Court's filing showed that U.S. District Judge Kenneth Hoyt, the Reagan appointee overseeing the lawsuit against True the Vote, Engelbrecht and Phillips, ordered to defend defendants to be jailed after they refused to share information, including all the people who have had or still have possession of any information from Koenig Computers. Koenig Computers is an election management software firm whose CEO was arrested in October for allegedly stealing poll workers' data and hosting it on servers in China. And I could go on and on with the article. I think you're probably familiar with that. Here's the case where True the Vote and Phillips produced the mega insightful data in relationship to, it's a documentary, in relationship to the 2,000 votes being stolen called 2,000 Mules. It's been seen, I believe, across the nation by the majority of the people, and they are trying now. I watched CNN article or program on CNN recently. I don't normally tune in there. I have to ask the Lord to forgive me each time I turn to that dial. But anyway, I watched a few minutes of what seemingly is a documentary they put on to try to destroy any integrity in the 2,000 Mule video. But here's the picture. Because the owner of the computer software company that is an election software, because he was in the limelight as to all of the data going up, being uploaded to China, he filed suit claiming to defend his integrity and his company. But at the same time, in Michigan and other states, he had been sued, and they have determined in the courts in other states, I believe Michigan and Pennsylvania, that his company, in fact, had been shipping information, sending it, uploading it to China, and that the software used could be, with a backdoor, could be used to change the votes at a whim or a desire. What are your thoughts on that? What have you heard in relationship to that? And do you believe that justice is being maligned in relationship to these two people being put in jail?
Well, when I first read about that, Dr. Youngblood, of putting these two people in jail because they would not reveal their sources, my first question was, my first thought is, why is that so important to that judge? that they reveal their sources, and if not, that he would put them in jail. Is the revelation of who those sources are so necessary for what is happening in that trial? Does he want it because he wants justice to be served? Does he want who their sources are so that justice will be served? Or does he want it for some other reason? I can't seem to figure that out yet, and I haven't heard anyone asking that question. No, this is a judge who has been there for quite some time. He was appointed by Reagan, so he has been serving on a bench for many years, you know, likely half a century. And so he must have some reason as to why he is demanding they reveal their sources or else be placed in jail. And we have seen in times past where journalists or others have been requested or demanded that they produce their sources, and seldom do they do that. And the reason they do that is to maintain the integrity of the freedom of press, because people will not come forward with their information if they know that it is going to be made public, which could put them in danger perhaps physically, or even being sued themselves or being jailed themselves. And so in order to maintain the integrity of the freedom of speech with our press, sources at oftentimes have to be anonymous. So I don't know why this judge is doing that, Dr. Youngblood. And if any of your listeners have an idea as to why, I would be glad to hear them share it.
I would love to hear that. Congressman, hold for a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. He left again. I'm sorry to hear that. Congressman, I've got this article, and it says, the truth is that Knock, that's K-E-K-O-N-N-E-C-H, is a company, that's the company we're talking about now, that was part of the vote theft in 2020. It says, the truth is that Knock is a U.S. company founded and operated in the U.S. by a U.S. citizen who has no affiliation with the Chinese Communist Party whatsoever, this statement made. He said, adding that all the U.S. customer data is secured and stored exclusively on protected computers located within the United States. But part of the $2.9 million contract that was reached with Los Angeles County, but the district attorney in Los Angeles, a Democrat who charged the company, Knock, CEO Eugene Yu, said investigators found that the information was in fact stored on servers in the People's Republic of China. And now that is Los Angeles County, then in the state of Michigan and in the state of Pennsylvania. They have found the same facts in their search in the suit that was filed in those states. And this is known by the judge that has just directed that these two people be thrown in jail because they're not revealing their sources that they went to for information. Another headline says, Judge jails 2,000 Mules investigators Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips. U.S. Marshals in Houston, Texas on Monday arrested True the Vote founder Catherine Engelbrecht and board member Greg Phillips for contempt of court and a defamation case against them after they refused a federal judge's order to release the names of their confidential source. The lawsuit was filed in September by Eugene Yu, that's Y-U, the CEO of Michigan-based election software company, et cetera, et cetera. At the center of the complaint is True the Vote's claim that Knock was storing U.S. electronics information for the election on servers in China through its software app, PollChief, P-O-L-L-C-H-I-E-F, posing a national security threat. However, only weeks after the defamation suit was filed, Yu was arrested and charged in Los Angeles County prosecutors for allegedly storing data on servers in China. The prosecutors called it probably the largest data breach in U.S. history. And now I say that because there's a suit also that is ongoing in Michigan in relationship to the same thing, and they found the same truth, and yet this judge, knowing that, still is putting these two in jail. I'm, as you have said, Congressman, it would be an interesting little footnote to find out what his passion is and why he's doing that. But it is my most humble opinion that this is high profile at this moment in order to frighten off and to prevent others from telling the truth about election fraud and the things that's taking place, I believe, at this moment in the 2022 election that we see coming about. I believe it is a determinative decision by the left to high profile these things to prevent anybody on the right, i.e. the conservatives, the patriots, and the Christians, from taking a stand and questioning anything in relationship to the election that is taking place today. In fact, I am saddened to know that very, very few churches, pastors, are saying anything about this election as with other elections. If you take a moment, Congressman, I want to read from September 2022, Decision Magazine, again, another statement by Franklin Graham. He says, "There's no doubt that the culture has changed radically in a very short time. We've gone from a society that recognized and encouraged the sanctity of life and marriage to one that is variantly anti-life and constantly undermines the pivotal role and of the stability of the family. Drugs, violence, immorality of every kind have swept over our world in a way that we never could have imagined just a few decades ago. Hostility toward Christians and believers is found in virtually every segment of society, education, politics, the public square, and all other areas. This is the point. What really troubles me," Franklin Graham speaking, "is the number of pulpits that fall prey to the whims of culture and fail miserably to declare the truth of God's word. Far too many preachers are afraid of what their peers may say, of what their congregations may think, if they boldly proclaim the scriptures. Shame on them. The Bible has a lot to say about shepherds who lead their flocks astray by failing to feed them on the truth of Scripture. If you're," and I like this, Franklin Graham being very pointed, "if you're in a church where the Word of God is not fully proclaimed and the commands of Scripture are compromised, get out of that church. Find a church home where Scripture is treasured and preached undiluted. Culture may say that homosexuality is okay. Well, it's not okay with God. In Romans, we are warned that because people turn their backs on God, his wrath will be poured out against all unrighteousness and ungodliness." I am very thankful to see the stand that Franklin Graham has taken when it comes to moral, ethical, biblical issues linked with the truth of what's happening politically. So, Congressman, I am delighted that you have stated so clearly and poignantly that you believe that it is simply a judge that has a, if you put it in my words, an axe to grind, a reason that we're not aware of at this juncture. Do you believe that some of these things that we see taking place will affect the boldness of Christians and conservatives in going to the polls and vote? Every time I see anybody on any of the news media, they're talking about how we're seeing the repression of votes. Do you see, based on the numbers in Georgia, based on the numbers of votes in Florida, based on the number of votes we've heard about nationally, do you see any repression of votes in America today?
No, Dr. Youngblood. No, that is a myth from the left. There is no repression of votes. Everyone who wants to vote can vote, and everyone who can vote should vote, particularly Christians. We need Christians to go out in mass numbers, and I would add, vote on election day in person. That if you mail in a mail-in ballot and they start seeing what the numbers look like, that give those who are going to cheat an opportunity to know how much they need to cheat. So if you are able to at all, I would say vote on election day and in person.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, the former representative for District 1 in the Florida House. We're going to take about a 1 minute, top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.